Hello and welcome to the Best of SEN Breakfast Podcast. There's a whole lot more on the SEN website, but for now, here are some of today's best bits.
The Schnitz, handmade pan-cooked schnitzel, and Melbourne Airport parking. You can now park closer for cheaper.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Good morning, everyone. Great to have your company. Wednesday, 7th of March, big show on the breakfast menu. Thanks to Schnitz, the schnitzel expert. Sam Edmonds coming in. I think it's a massive day for Sam Edmonds today. Simon Cadditch, very shortly, off the top, some developing news on the whole David Warner, Quentin de Kock situation. The next big thing in footy, Harris Andrews. He's going to join us. Terry Danaher on the big Sharon, Bob Murphy in After Eight, and Swanee. Dane Swan, going to have a chat with us after 8.30 about the return of the footy show. Morning to you, Wes.
Good morning, Gary. On Harris Andrews, the players of the AFL believe that there's a 7% chance that he will be in the top five breakout players of the year. There you go.
Who's the top?
Kerno. Charlie.
Hey, we're going to just do something a little differently.
We normally
just lighten up and have an ease our way into the morning. But I can tell you that overnight or recently, the International Cricket Council today have announced that Australian vice-captain Dave Warner, South African's Quentin de Kock, have been reported for breaching the ICC Code of Conduct. Warner has copped a level 2 offence and de Kock a level 1 offence. And that may even lead to their suspension, something that our cricket expert Simon Cadditch put on the agenda, and his comments resonated right around the world in the last 24 hours, and he's been good enough to join us. Simon, welcome.
How are you guys?
Well, we're going well, mate. Yesterday we sat here thinking, well, we should be celebrating the fact that the Australians have had a dominant win over South Africa in the first test, but all anyone is wanting to talk about is Warner and de Kock, and now that they've both been charged by the ICC, is there any possible chance that David Warner will miss the second test?
Well, I think there's, depends on the amount of points that they get for the charges. So I believe that a level one offence can get between 1 to 2 demerit points, and a level two offence can be 3 to 4. If David Warner only gets 3 points, then I think he'll be okay. But if he was to get 4, then there's a chance he could be suspended for the next test. So I think it sounds like there's still going to be, we have to wait for I guess the ICC to update that later on once Cricket Australia and Cricket South Africa have heard the charges and see whether they want to contest them, I think. So that's my understanding of where it sits at the moment. But it's a real shame because the test match, for 4 days we saw some magnificent test cricket, and then at the end of the test when Australia deserved to, be, I guess, celebrating and enjoying, a hard-fought victory, this was hanging over everyone's head. So, look, hopefully it can get sorted in the next, 12 to 24 hours, and then we can move on to Friday and hopefully some more good cricket gets played without all this other stuff.
If you were sitting in the ICC chair and had to make the decision, would David Warner be playing on Friday in that second test?
Well, I think if they hand down 3 points, it's a win-win for both parties because I think David Warner gets to play. He'll probably have to be reined in a little bit because, he's going to be sitting right on the edge, one more point and potentially then he misses a test or two. So, look, that's the issue they've got is, hearing all the evidence. I'm not privy to all the evidence that's been obviously in the hearing, so it's hard for me to make a fully informed judgment on. It's a good question, Gary. I'd love to be able to answer it, but, I haven't heard the full story about what's been said, the context and all this. So, I think if they, follow through with this, both players are going to probably realise that, they would have let their teams down if they'd been suspended. So you'd like to think that this punishment hopefully prevents it from happening in Test 2. But if it does keep going, then I dare say something's going to happen where players are going to start missing tests because it wasn't a great look for the game.
No, it wasn't a great look for the game, Simon. Good morning, it's Tim here. If they do contest it, does it then become like a tribunal-type arrangement whereby both sides will put their argument against those penalties to that tribunal panel? Or how do you contest this?
That's a good question. I'm actually not 100% sure of whether it does go to, a tribunal because basically I think the match referee and the ICC sit in on the hearing along with team management. So yeah, it'd be interesting to find out what happens now if they do contest the charges. I wouldn't have thought, unless South Africa feel that de Kock has been, you know, unfairly treated in this situation, he's been provoked initially by Warner on field and it's led to what's happened off the field, I would have thought both players and both, you know, both sets of administrators from Cricket South Africa and Cricket Australia will probably cop it on the chin.
Sorry, just on this point too, you've probably heard now from the playing group, you know, what was said from both sides. Did both players overreact or did either player overreact?
Look, I haven't heard exactly what's happened on the field. You know, the players obviously want to, you know, some of them probably weren't even close to hearing what happened, but I believe Tim Payne's made some statements. I haven't heard those yet. They were made this afternoon, but in terms of, you know, what's been said, you'd have to say for Quinn de Kock to apparently go down this path, you would have thought he'd been provoked. I wouldn't have thought he'd just say it off the top of his head without being stirred up. So, look, you'd have to say both parties are probably to blame, and if they do cop level one and level two breaches, then I would have thought both would cop it on the chin and move on and be pretty grateful that they didn't cop a test each.
And time for us to move on to, I think. We'll sit, obviously, and watch with great interest to see how this plays out, but more importantly, we'll look forward to what's going to be a cracking second test starting on Friday. Thanks for your time, mate. We'll talk then.
My pleasure, guys.
On you, Simon.
Simon Kadich there, and a couple of text messages here. Why would de Kock be charged? He's the victim and got attacked. Well, I think it's in the charge sheet. Level two offence to David Warner, level one to de Kock. So that would tell you where the umpires or the ICC see the apportioning blame. Obviously, they see that David Warner was the aggressor and that de Kock contributed, but to a lesser degree.
So much commentary around this too, Gary. I mean, everyone's been asked their opinion about, you know, whether or not Warner overreacted or whatever. But this is Darren Lehman, because there's also, this comes into question too, the leadership of David Warner. Let's not forget that he is the captain of the T20 team and also the vice-captain of the Australian team. This is what Darren Lehman had to say yesterday about his leadership position.
He's vice-captain of the Australian cricket team. So for us, you know, we're here to obviously win a series. It's going to be a bloody tough series, as we've seen over the 5 days here. So looking forward to PE from our point of view.
There you go. Barry's on the line from Bulleen. Then we'll just lighten it up a touch, because normally our game.
Very heavy.
So heavy early in the morning. G'day, Bazza.
Oh, g'day, boys. Listen, look, I'm a bit disappointed in Steve Smith. I think he should stand down as captain. He's meant to be the icon of the game. He's meant to be the role model for everybody, all those young kids in Australia playing cricket. Now, his press conference yesterday, all he's doing is defending Warner, throwing barbs at the South Africans. Now we've heard that Warner's guilty. I think Smithy should have a real good look at himself, and I think he's not probably the best captain emotionally for the team, and get somebody else in there.
All right, Baz, thanks for your early morning call. I would disagree. I think Steve Smith was defending his player. He's obviously aware of what was going on. We're not. And in the end, both the captain and the coach of Australia have come out in defence of their leader. So let's now see what happens from an ICC point of view. We'll park it for now, and we'll just wait to see whether or not he gets three or four demerit points and plays in that first second test.
And this off from one of our friends out there, de Kock should stand firm, Gary. De Kock's sister had a go at Warner over social media too. I'm not aware of that. I don't know what it was that she may have written out there, but we'll see if we can't find it this morning. Hey, have you got a big day ahead? You're all dressed up today. I don't normally see you so
today,
well
yes,
dressed.
I have got a Fox footy sort of induction day.
Oh, that'll be nice for you.
All that sort of stuff. And I know you had yours.
Bev Pants coming down for that?
No.
That's a big occasion, though, isn't it, for the Lyon family, if you've been inducted into the Fox team?
Rick's been working there, or had been working there for about 10 years, so not at all. But you had a big day yesterday. I know Channel 7 had a very big day where you did all your photos.
My word, we did.
So what? Now, just let's talk with everyone through. Everyone that's on air goes there.
Yeah, everybody.
Gets dressed up.
And all the newbies.
And has their photo. Who were the newbies there yesterday?
We had a newbie. We had, James Brayshaw, a good mate of yours.
My information.
He was the newbie, yeah.
I'm interested. You were there.
Yeah, okay. You test your information against an eyewitness, okay?
James, I went to these sorts of days with Channel 9 and or Triple M for the best part of 20 years.
Yeah.
And normally sat there very quietly because he was very well ensconced at
both
of those places. So he didn't have anything to prove and he'd sit there quietly. My mail is he didn't shut up at the Channel 7 function and ask question after question after question. And in fact, it was a question off between him and Daisy Pierce.
I don't know who your source is, but it's impeccable. Absolutely impeccable.
And also, I want to ask you this. This is Scott Gullen, the Whisper. We're hearing a swapping of microphones in the offing at Channel 7 with a different face to ask the hard questions on Friday Night Football. What does that mean?
Just repeat that again.
We are hearing, we being Scotty Gullen,
yeah,
a swapping of microphones in the offing at 7 with a different face to ask the hard questions on Friday Night Football.
Okay, I don't know the answer to that hasn't come across my desk, that one.
Let me try and piece that together.
You've got that mischievous look on your face.
Why have I?
You have got a mischievous look.
Asking the hard questions would be a journalist, have to be.
Yeah.
Because that's not what Duck or Richo do.
Well, Duck can ask them very hard
questions. No, I know that, but that's not his role.
Just off the record here, okay, this is just between you and I and everybody listening this morning. Duck was very, very animated yesterday in some of his questioning during umpire time yesterday. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to say any more about that, okay?
Okay. So that would be there's a change in the journalistic...
I don't know what you're talking about.
...department of the Friday Night Footy. And that it would either be Mark Stevens, who does the hard questions in the press conference.
Yeah.
Or who else is a journalist on Friday Night Footy? Because I'm working. I don't always get to see it.
I'm not generally there on a Friday night anymore. It's been a while since I did the Friday night.
No, but you do the news.
Anyway, I do the news.
It's a bit
yeah.
of navel gazing. Is yeah. Steve-O not doing the questions?
I don't know. You've got the running on this story.
The way I read it is Tom Brown's come in and gone out.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's some unrest too at 7.
I tell you what, the seamstress was very busy there yesterday too. There were a couple of modifications and alterations that needed to be made to some of the girth. On the trousers of some...
Brian. At the Cola District Footy Netball League, they've seceded.
That's a good word, AFL, but what does
Victoria.
It mean?
They've withdrawn from the pact.
How can you withdraw?
Well, they have.
The whole league?
We've spoken about this.
How do you withdraw?
They said, we are no longer under the
They've pulled out.
They're seceded.
Oh, goodness me.
What do you think about that?
Well, it's a drastic measure, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Why have they done that? Well, to save money or something?
A whole host of concerns. One of them being they reckon they can save $80,000 on insurance. We've got to get to the bottom of this. Steve Reaper, we need to speak to from AFL Victoria because we've got a grave concern about country Victorian footy.
This is not my strong suit. Okay?
Nor mine. Nor
finances mine. Are not something I'm very good at. Insurance policies, all that sort of stuff. But I would have thought that if you've got the whole power of the AFL behind you and you're putting a policy together, surely you'd get a better deal than if you went alone.
We need to find out.
So they're saying that if they went with the AFL insurance, it would cost them over $100,000, and if they do it independently, separately, then it's only going to cost them $38,000.
That's a very basic reading of it.
The AFL would come back and say
it's not just insurance.
We're providing
a whole host of other services, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't profess to know enough about it, but we need to, and we try to. We've put a couple of calls into Steve Reaper at the AFL, and hopefully we can get back to him at some particular time. Go on. Do you have something to say?
No. What are you practicing to be a goal umpire?
There's lots of
people want to know about this story that you spoke about and that you were going to break this morning. Have you got a breaking time? What's the status of your story?
I did quite a bit of work on it yesterday, and it's 99.9% right.
Well, you'll be going with it then.
No. The thing is, we will go with it, either today or tomorrow. I'm not mucking around. This is serious.
Right.
I don't really want to do it because it's not my go. I'm going to take our new man under my wing and I'm just going to say, here's everything I know.
Right.
Over to you.
To Sam.
Sam Edmund.
Yosemite Sam.
Well, it's a journalistic type news follow up. You know, you got to make a couple of calls. I've made enough calls. I don't want to do any more whispers.
He's only been with us for a couple of weeks. Do you think he's up for this?
Well, this is a test for him. And when he gets a Walkley, all we want is some sort of
attribution.
But so, yeah, I know we've had a lot of people message. Right. It is absolutely dead set serious. There's no, I'm not being a tool, as I said yesterday. This is one of the reasons I don't want to do it, Wisp, because it's just not my go being a journalist. But Sammy is, and we'll hand it over and see how he goes. Bit of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
After the break, he's going to come in. He's got some contract news about a star big man. We're going to discuss the fact that Damien Hardwick's been reappointed. Great news for Richmond till the end of 2021. Under $1 million a year.
Yeah, unders.
Unders for me too.
Yeah, unders for me too. You know the other thing we've got? We've got our hands on Fox's first promo, their footy promo, that does include you, Gary. and we're going to play that before 7 o'clock this morning.
Can't wait for that. Big
only
morning.
If you put your thumb, you're going to put your thumbs up.
Dane Swan, Bob Murphy,
oh, there they go.
Terry Danaher.
Both thumbs are up. The second text this morning was, what time's Gary going with his story?
Well, I'm going to hand it over to Sam Edmund, and then it's his problem. Welcome.
Thank you, Gary. I know you said it's relatively safe. I'll still direct all complaints to your mobile phone, so I'll pass that
no.
on. Plenty happening elsewhere, though. Let's get to this. West Coast could have a real fight on its hands to retain restricted free agent Jeremy McGovern. Now, we've learnt overnight, guys, one Melbourne-based club has tabled, wait for this, a six-year offer worth nearly $1.2 million a season
to
his management.
Is that confirmed?
That is confirmed by the people that would know.
6 years.
So that is more than $7 million across the six-year contract. That's getting up into sort of Dustin Martin
That's
territory.
Unbelievable money for a centre-half back.
Because dual All-Australian, probably the stickiest mitts in the business, Tim, Jeremy McGovern. Leading contester marker each of the last 2 years. He's a WA lad. West Coast obviously want to keep him. There were reports last month the Eagles had floated a five-year deal worth $4 million. Stay or go, he's going to be really well paid. And this is the sign of the times. The new CBA, everyone's going to be more handsomely rewarded. Got to get used to these figures.
With here, I'd want to look under the bonnet, Gary. I want to have a very good look at the under
He's
the bonnet.
Reasonably durable, hasn't he?
I took my car in for a service yesterday. I know this is not about me, but I wanted up on the. I want him up on the hoist.
Okay. Right,
I want
then,
everything mate, looked at.
That's a reasonable request if you're going to fork out that sort of wedge.
What a difference a year makes for Damien Hardwick. This time last year, of course, his club had just seen off a board challenge. There were calls for him to be sacked. Yesterday, he puts pen to paper on a new 3-year contract that will take him to Richmond's longest-serving coach in his tenure to 12 seasons. The moment that CEO Brendan Gale delivered the news to the players was recorded, and this was their reaction.
We're going to extend his contract for 3 years out of 2021. Yeah. Put your hands together.
There's a lot of spirit there. They jumped on him.
I saw it on the news. Back to the good old days. Put your hands together. From Benny Gale.
Hey, what does that say about the relationship, though, between player and coach? Like, that's a genuine response from players.
If you haven't got that sort of relationship after delivering them a premiership, then there's something wrong with your whisp.
Hey, I'm hearing that 17 clubs went home last night. Coaches went home last night with their tail between their legs saying to their missus, what am I doing wrong?
Just a touch of Jerry Maguire about it.
What am I doing wrong? I don't get that sort of reaction from my players.
The end of Jerry Maguire. what's he worth? It's reported in the paper, Jakey Niles got him at under $1 million.
Yeah, well, more than that, isn't he? Obviously.
Gee, I reckon he is.
Yeah, football department cap, though, has got him, and apparently he's taken the cut to keep other staff there. So, while it's good for the players, it's good for the coach, too.
That's great. Yeah, one of us did that, too.
With the Tigers. They've announced, through Damien Hardwick actually, their interest in free agent forward Tom Lynch, saying they could make room for his massive salary next year. Now, in a Fox Footy interview to be broadcast during tonight's Richmond Kangaroos JLT game, guys, Hardwick makes it clear the Tigers will be a contender for Lynch's services. He describes him as incredible. These sort of players, Tim, rarely come out of contract, and you've got to have a look at it.
Yeah, I can see how they could fit him into their forward line alongside Jack.
Who was the coach that railed against this last year?
Well, he doesn't like it.
Was it Damien Hardwick?
He hates it.
I'm sure it was.
And he admits
Damien
it in
Hardwick.
This interview. He says, I find it unsavoury. I don't like it. We are allowed to do it, but I don't think
we should
be.
Didn't he go nuts last year about this?
He's gone
with Dustin Martin.
Yeah, the players should not be approached.
Right, so now he understands that it's actually legal. I think when he went nuts, he thought it was sort of outside the boundary.
Yeah.
So he's had to educate himself to say, it is legal.
And now he understands also that his own people are talking to players from other clubs about 12 months out.
I think that's more the point. I think he might have gone nuts and then might have got a phone call and said,
Dimmer,
the same thing, Dimmer.
Hey, Dimmer, we've just got off the phone to five other blokes playing at other clubs at the moment. Shut up.
Harley Bennell, he's played only 2 games in 2 years for Fremantle, but Joel Hamling, his teammate, has seen enough from his time at the Gold Coast to suggest he can win the game's biggest individual honour. Let's have a listen to Joel Hamling yesterday, talking about Bennell, who's obviously just returned to the club from his imposed 8-week ban.
At his finest, he's a star of the game. He's probably a future Brownlow medalist, I would have thought.
Just got to get on the park, obviously, to win the Brownlow.
Long way from that, isn't he, at the moment? I think he's going to play again. You have your doubts.
I think he's going to play again.
Jack Billing's going to play again. He's going to play in the JLT game tomorrow night against Melbourne. He's back from the hamstring injury. Both teams close to full strength. Josh Bruce will play alongside Paddy McCartan and Tim Membry for the Saints. Melbourne have recalled Neville Jetta, Jeff Gallett, Dom Tyson, and Sam Frost. Bailey Fritsch, Gary, keeps his spot. I really like the look of Bailey.
Yeah, you couldn't not play him again based on his first hit out.
This is going to be like a game on top of the 22 for these two clubs. This game, this practice game, this is going to be more than a JLT game.
I think most clubs are approaching it,
particularly
this
for
JLT
St Kilda, because they were so disappointed.
Yeah, and
last
the Bombers
time.
When they played Geelong, they need to
get it
the same.
Yep, they need to get it together.
Jordan Lewis will miss with a calf. Now Hawthorn James Frawley is going to play his first game in more than 9 months down in Tassie against Carlton on Saturday. Word is Cyril Rioli's made some really good progress as well in round one frame again. And just hearing, guys, Tom Boyd may be left out again of the Western Bulldogs lineup while fit and available.
The Fox Footy promo, we're going to hear a lot of this during the footy season, but I just want to play it to you now. Gary's listening to it for the first time, as are we all.
Nice, Gary!
Nice, Gary!
Nice, Gary!
Nice, Gary!
Nice, Gary!
So what they've done is they've got a range of footy stars. You heard Gary Ablett there, Alex Rance, Dane Zorko, Chad Wingard. So they're all mimicking what the cricketers do, like the old Nice Gary.
Nice Gary!
Yeah. Is that your idea?
No, it was not my idea, but I haven't seen it.
That's very funny.
Very funny, eh? Clever down there.
And so do you appear in that at all?
No, I don't say... I would.
Are you sort of popping around the screen?
I'm sure, probably, because we all had to do those stand in front of the screenshots and all that sort of stuff. I'm sure that'll get inserted somewhere. Hey, Sam Edmund has reported this morning a very big money offer for Jeremy McGovern. Is that exclusive to SEN Breakfast?
I think so.
It is.
From sure. A Melbourne club, too.
A Melbourne club is reportedly, according to Sam Edmund, offered Jeremy McGovern $1.2 million a year over 6 years.
The Schnitz, handmade pan-cooked schnitzel, and Melbourne Airport parking. One-day terminal parking, now only $51.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
And this hour on the breakfast menu, thanks to Schnitz, the schnitzel experts. Terry Danaher is going to join us. They're going to put the Big Sharon up in Hungary, where the Danaher name is legendary. Harris Andrews, rising young star for the Brisbane Lions. He played on Buddy, captained the Lions on Saturday. He's going to have a chat with us. And a couple of other issues I want to put on the agenda. We're going to set the table right now, the breakfast table. Whispers and front and square, Damien Hardwick.
Yes.
New deal.
Yes.
Till the end of 2021.
Yes. Come from the clouds, this bloke.
He's played, so I listened to Benny Gale in that really, it's great vision when he announced it in front of the Richmond playing team and they all mobbed him. Four of the past 5 years played finals. This is how you can spin it. Like up until last year, as he played three finals in a row, hadn't won a finals
That's
game
right.
at all.
That's
now
right.
they've played in four of the last final series, which culminated in a premiership. So that is the end of the story. Once you've won the flag, the rest of it's irrelevant. Unders? 800 or Jake Nowell, the age is saying maybe 800 or a million, somewhere around
Let's get to that in a minute, though.
Who should get paid more?
Yeah, well, I'll get to that in a minute. So 12 months ago, this would have been, would it not have been like a farcical, ridiculous discussion?
50 to 1. Oh, 50 to 1,
no,
probably.
I reckon you've been kind there.
100 maybe.
Maybe 100 to 1.
100 to 1 that he would have been
extension. And this is where it's so difficult to make an assessment or a judgment on some of the coaches, because I put my hand on my heart. I didn't think that he was going to be a premiership coach at Richmond, Damien Hardwick, based on the way that he'd chopped and changed.
Well, no one did it, really.
No, with the way that he chopped and changed, with the way that he wanted them to... To me, it looked like somebody who was still trying to find their way through the coaching maze. He hadn't really clarified what it was that he wanted them to do, and I'm starting to think, okay, you're not going to get much more of a chance with this group of players to be able to demonstrate that you know what it is that you want these blokes to do. And lo and behold, they come out and they play like they did last year. And now we're talking about this bloke as being one of the best coaches in the game.
Okay.
That's how quickly it can
change. So beautifully said. So what is he worth? Someone that is able to do that. Someone that is able to turn around a ship that was perhaps not going in the right direction and now emerge as a premiership team.
Well, 800,000 is a lot of money, but if you look at what he's been a contributor to in terms of turning Richmond into what they have become now, they're massive. Like, they're a massive football club, and the dollars that are now streaming into that football club as a result of that success. Now, I don't know whether any coach has an incentive type payment in their contract based upon, you know, membership build and all that type of thing, but I would have thought that he would have been worth over a mil. But then if you read the fine print and all this, he's saying that if they went a lot further with his contract and they gave him $1 million, it may mean that, you know, this whole soft cap thing, it may mean that somebody on his footy department got forced out or whatever, and it may have impacted on their ability to bring in another coach. So he's done the right thing, the great thing, the noble thing by the football club.
I agree 100%. He's a great mate of Alistair Clarkson.
Yes.
And this is exactly what Clarko did. Clarko would go to his football club and say, in the early days, this is even before... Yep. They had premiership success, say, we need another person in the conditioning, or we need this. And they say, well, we just haven't got that money. Yep. Okay, I'll take less. And that was Clarko's philosophy, and would appear that he and Dimmer sing from the same hymn book, which is really admirable.
It is, and you and I, we follow the NFL a lot, and we now know that, you know, in that game, it's very specific, that game, but the point I'm going to make is that the coaching panel, if you were to lose maybe one or two of your coaching panel from an NFL team, it can have an enormous effect on your ability to perform the following year. Our game is getting to that point. Like, if you have, you're developing coaches, you've got intellectual property with that coaching group, you don't want that to go anywhere else. So you want to try and be as stable as you possibly can. Keep those people around you to give you the best opportunity to have success.
And Carousella and Lepich were two that came back to Richmond and were lauded in the whole process. Yep. And maybe they wouldn't be able to get him both of them if Damien Hardwick had a different attitude to his own pay packet. Here's Brenny Gale talking about Damien Hardwick last night with KB in the dock.
Our belief has been validated. It's very hard to win premierships. Yeah. It's very hard to win premierships at Richmond. It's a very tough environment to manage and coach. You know, one of the great shames about our industry is that we just cook coaches. So much of coaching, leading, managing footy, particularly the performance side of footy, is experiential.
So there's Benny. And it is. The hardest thing in footy is to do what he did, Damien Hardwick. Therefore, he deserves to be compensated at the very top end, and I think it's admirable that he's taking a little less to make sure the rest of the group can stay intact.
Because
you can't then preach to the players, can you?
No, that's true. That's true. I listened to a lot of what Benny Gale had to say, and you know, he went on to talk about how influential others were and how they had like the lifetime of experience. And you talk about Neil Baum too, about how long he'd been in the game. And Gary's out there in Mount Waverley. I think he wants to touch on that point. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, boys. Exactly the point, Tim, is that Neil Baum, when he went to Geelong, turned that place around. And whilst Mark Thompson took a couple of flags and Chris Scott, the mini bus, he took one as well. Neil Baum was the brains behind the whole business, mate. And he's done it at Richmond last year, and they'll continue to be a successful team whilst Baum is there.
That is, Gary, we spoke about this last year.
You know him well.
I do. Collingwood were going through a tough time, weren't they? They had to revamp their whole club. They did the review, and they're under all sorts of pressure. And it was sort of pointed out that Bucks would need someone that he could confide in. They had one.
Yeah.
Palmy was there. And he got pushed sideways, ended up going to Richmond, and then continued to do at Richmond what he'd done at Geelong.
Well, Gary, you know, success has 1,000 fathers and defeats an orphan. And what's happening right now on our text is that everybody's saying, or different people are saying here, you know, it's Baum, it's Benny Gale, it's Damien Hardwick.
It's Lepich, it's
everybody.
Carousella, that's right.
At a football club, it's getting all those things right and then having a bit of luck at the same time. And that's exactly what Richmond had last year.
Chris from Greenvale is on the line. G'day, Chris.
Yeah, morning, fellas. I just think this is another feather in the cap of the underlying message of Alistair Clarkson's impact on the AFL coaching rank. He's mentored in previous years, the previous two grand final or premiership coaches, and there's plenty of others in the ranks that I don't think we give him enough credit for what he's actually done to our game and the way he's shaped our coaching fraternity.
And he continues to do that. That is a great point. the disciples, the Al Clarkson disciples that are out there shaping the game the way that he's played now. Ooh. It's extraordinary that so many coaches have come from the one coaching panel. Do you know that Damien Hardwick got down to the last two at Essen when Essen chose Matty Knights?
And the computer didn't work. Was that him?
I don't know whether his computer worked or not, but the vote, they took a vote, obviously. The board took a vote at that stage, and they voted for Matthew Knights, not ahead Damien Hardwick, because they didn't think that he was ready at the time.
And he was in, I think he was in for a North Melbourne job when Brad Scott got it as well. We'll move on from Damien Hardwick. And as we said after they won their flag, I've been in awe of what they've been able to do, and it surprised me and everyone else, but well done. Not everyone else.
Just one final thing on that, because Malcolm Blight was asked for his top three coaches in the game yesterday, and he had Clarko, and I think most people would have Clarko at the top. Then on the next rung, he had Chris Scott and John Longmire, who he couldn't separate. No Damien Hardwick, no Ross Lyon in that top three. Did that surprise you at all?
Ross Lyon's not in there at the moment, is he?
But he's only
at various stages he would have been.
But if you had taken a poll 2 years ago of all the people working in the AFL media, I think he would have been. It would have been him and Clarko almost on the same level.
No, he was not ever at Clarko's level, in my opinion. But you're right.
In a lot of other people,
he would have been right up there. But, I mean, that changes, doesn't it? Players.
And that's all based on one thing.
Success.
Well, grand final success. Yeah. I mean, if you look at Ross's record, I mean, he's had success. Yes, he's been able to get teams up there almost to win a flag.
And conversely, though, your reputation or your standing tends to suffer a bit if you've had the couple of years that he's had at Fremantle, with their inability to get on the sort of the same page of the modern football game and the way it's played.
It's silly, though, isn't it? Because has he lost his ability to coach?
Well, maybe he's not coaching to the way the game's played or as well as he has. Maybe he was continuing to coach in a style that was more suited to an era of 6 years ago.
Or maybe he just doesn't have the players. I mean, maybe he doesn't have the same quality of players to be able to produce that success.
That is a great point. That's why you're so wise. Sammy Edmund this morning has told us that Jeremy McGovern, the centre-halfback, two-time All-Australian from the West Coast Eagles, has been offered a six-year, $1.2 million deal by a Melbourne-based club. Now, you can head to sen.com.au to read all of those details.
I know you're going to be surprised by this because you think that he...
No, go on.
This is my impression of what you think of him, okay? Oh. That he is a guy who doesn't play on anyone.
They
free him up and they play through his strengths.
He's in your Jake Lever mould. That's what he is. He's a player that they have been able to have him as a more offensive defender that doesn't necessarily have to play one-on-one. But he does it so well, he gets away with it.
Jake Lever wouldn't be getting that sort of money, though.
No, but $1.2 million is a lot of money. But you know what, Wisp? When we, you know, even $800 for Toby Green, I think that's nearly unders for Toby Green. With the way the salary cap's going and the way that the average wage where that sits, it used to be $1 million, buddy. Yeah. For God's sake,
I reckon
Buddy's deal was $900, wasn't it?
I reckon the $1.2 million mark, which is sort of going to put you up there with the highest paid players in the game, that's for game changing, match winning type players.
He's a bit of a game changer.
I don't think he is. In my mind, he's not at that point yet.
He changes it by the way he repels.
If that's the case, then you're comparing him with Alex Rance. He's not an Alex Rance player.
No,
he doesn't.
No one compares to Alex Rance.
Well, but that's at that money. That's who you are comparing him to. Alex Rance wouldn't be getting $1.2 million a year.
No.
So you're paying this guy. Yeah, but
Alex Rance should be though.
Well, to me,
Alex Rance should be getting that money.
If we're benchmarking the best defenders in the game, the most influential defenders in the game, he's there. He's at the top.
No, Alex Rance.
So McGovern to me. This is my point, though. McGovern is not an Alex Rance.
No, but you're talking within the framework.
He doesn't disrupt the whole...
You're talking within the framework of your team when you talk about pay scale. You can't compare teams to teams. Like, Alex Rance probably doesn't get... If Dustin Martin wasn't there, Alex Rance probably does get 1.2.
Okay, but if we...
Who's getting that money at West Coast? No, Josh Kennedy.
Okay, let's take money out of the equation. I'm benchmarking them as players, then.
Mm.
He's not an Alex Rance
player. No, he's not. Alex Rance
is... He's not the great disruptor.
Clearly the best. But he is a disruptor.
He is a disruptor.
Yeah. He is because he's the number one intercept marker in the competition.
Jeremy Lowe's a disruptor too. Howe. Jeremy Howe's a disruptor too. Yeah. But he's on a lower rung.
Yeah, that's true. But Jeremy Howe's had one really good year.
Yeah, but he's that type of player.
Yeah, but you don't fork out on the back of one good season. No. I mean, McGovern's a two-time All-Australian.
Okay. The question out there, would you pay $1.2 million for Jeremy McGovern if that's the case? I mean, if that's
Is he a better player than Jake Lever? That's another question you throw out there.
Oh, right now, I would say that he is a better player than, than Jake
Lever. Then is $1.2 million right, or is it way over? Don't forget, you've got to pay a premium to move a bloke from Western Australia to Victoria Wisp.
Yeah. So are you? Would you give that a tick? If that was your club and you found out tomorrow that it's Melbourne that has made this offer and they're right in the hunt to get Jeremy McGovern, are you happy for that?
I think it's overs, but to move someone from the West who's a Western Australian to
Victoria,
you're going to have to pay that sort of wedge.
Who do you think the club is then?
I don't know. I'm going to get a little Sammy Edmund. We're going to tie him
Melbourne,
up.
North Melbourne's got a lot of money, apparently. St Kilda are looking for a big-name player.
Harris Andrews, I don't know how closely you've been following the Brisbane Lions, but about halfway through last year, I reckon the whole perception of the Brisbane Lions started to change. And it was driven a lot by Chris Fagan, who I think has done a fantastic job, but it was also driven by a couple of blokes, Eric Hipworth, one of them. Harris Andrews is the other. He's only played 58 games in the Lions, Wisp, but he's a very, very accomplished young defender.
And ask him the question when you get him on, too, if he's related to Ron Andrews.
Well, why don't you ask him?
Good morning, Harris.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. Harris. What is your relationship with Ron Andrews?
It's actually very funny. I do have a grandfather named Ron. They called him Big Ron, but yeah, no actual relation to Ron Andrews.
Tim Watson all morning's been pumping up the fact that you've got this very close relationship and connection with the Essendon Footy Club. Not true.
Nah, not quite. I did grow up as an Essendon supporter, but yeah, unfortunately not.
So your Ron Andrews isn't related to the Ron Andrews that played at Essendon?
Give it up, Wisp.
Nah, I don't believe so.
Give it up, Wisp.
Are you sure? I'd be checking your family tree if I was you, Harris.
Yeah, might have to do some work, but yeah, I don't think so.
Hey, how's life up there, mate? As we said during that intro, we reckon that the tide started to turn a little bit halfway through last year, and it takes a little while to catch up with the wins and losses column, but it does appear that you're very much on the right track.
Yeah, everything's going really well. I think we've had a pretty good pre-season. We're obviously, I think we sort of got to a point last year just after the bye where we sort of sat down and just talked about what we wanted to achieve as a group for the back half of last year, and certainly gaining respect from the competition was part of that. As you said, we probably haven't had the wins so far that we wanted. But yeah, certainly the brand of footy that we're playing, I think, is certainly something that's going to be sustainable, I guess, for the future. And yeah, it's been a good summer. We've been pretty lucky with our injuries and that, haven't had too many. And we're just ready to sort of crack into the start of the season.
What are the goals you set for yourself? I always think about when the young players that have shown plenty and emerging, I always think about Max Gawn when I ask this question of players. Maxie came out boldly and said, I want to be the number one ruckman in the competition. And I think at the time Todd Goldstein had that mantle and he said, I'm chasing him. And he ended up getting there. He was an All-Australian within a couple of years. So I love players that put a little bit of pressure on themselves to be the best. What are your goals for the year?
I think my goals personally, I think it's just to be able to play that key defender role for the club. I mean, coming up against, like, on the weekend, even playing against Buddy, and just I guess, being able to try and take some scalps through the year. I think, for me, it's just, playing on the best forward every week and being able to adapt to the different, I guess, traits that all of those forwards have. I'm probably not going to come out and say something huge like, I guess, a Max Gawn would say. But, certainly just to continually improve over the year and build really good communication and relationships out on the field with my fellow teammates.
Luke Hodge, we believe that he may play his first game this weekend against the Suns. Is that right?
From all reports, I think so, yeah. The coaches and that haven't really sat down yet, I don't think, and gone through the team yet. But, yeah, it would be good to see him out there finally.
Is he going to play alongside you in the back line? He can be an intimidating figure, Harris.
Yeah, he will. He's spent all summer training with us down there. So, yeah, it'll be good to have him out there. He's been fantastic for us on and off the field. But, it'll be good to see him, I guess, on game day.
Does that give a young defender like you a lot of confidence to have somebody like him around you?
Yeah, it certainly does. I guess the thing that I've sort of noticed is, because he has played so much football, he's seen every scenario. So it's even just the little things about, like where your starting point is, from stoppages and obviously the transition running outside of that. He's got all these little tips and hints that you probably wouldn't pick up if you hadn't played so much footy. So to have him there is, yeah, fantastic.
Did it make you realise how much about the game you didn't know?
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, like, he does, he's got so many different little things that help him, which he can sort of pass on to us, which I guess it probably does take you a lot of time to recognise that. And for us to be able to pick up that stuff early, he's only going to be beneficial in the long run.
Speaking of Harris Andrews, the Brisbane Lions, has he given a cookout yet, Harris?
No, it's all right. He's been pretty calm. No real issues so far. I'm sure it'll be different watching him out on the ground on Saturday or even through the start of the season. But we all know it's in good intentions, and he's just up here to try and get a fast track us young guys' development. So. Very exciting.
We're talking to one of the youngest, brightest stars in the game, Harris Andrews from the Brisbane Lions. It's 15 minutes to 8. Harris, the young players up there at the moment at the Brisbane Lions, they seem to have really gelled as a group and as a pack and made that commitment to each other. I mean, that's got to be a great thing for the Brisbane Lions going forward.
Yeah, it definitely is. To see the amount of young guys that have re-signed through the last probably 12 months even, with guys like Jared Berry, Hugh McCluggage, and Alex Witherden and Cam Rayner more recently. That's a huge sign for the club. And I think we're sort of starting to lose this persona about the homesickness and all that sort of stuff, which is good to see that the guys are committing to each other. And, we're just all really looking forward to the future.
Well, it's going to be a really big year, no question about it. Chris Fagan with a year under his belt. He's a very, very good man. He's going to build, a really successful footy club, and it's a big challenge. Harris is there till the end of 2021, so that's a fairly good start. Mate, good luck. Head to membership.lions.com.au today for what's going to be a really interesting and exciting year for the Brisbane Lions. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Harry Danner is about to join us. Ungary, not Hungary, Ungary, yep, is about to put up a massive Sharon.
Yes.
In tribute to the magnificent contribution that Danaher family has made to AFL footy. Couldn't think of anyone better to be immortalised with a Sharon. But controversially, you've just seen the details and you said it's not even that big. It's a 5 metre footy. It's going to be on a pedestal at the local park.
Underwhelming, Gary.
Underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
I don't think Terry Danaher is going to appreciate you saying that at all. He joins us. Tezza, well done. I think it's magnificent. Tim reckons it's not that big a deal.
Good morning, Gaz and Tim. Yeah, I lied out. No, I think I'll have to take a couple of trips up there with my squeegee and give her a dust down a couple of times a year to keep the red dust down.
You might have to do... Hey, it's a 5 metre footy, Terry. I thought it might have been something that was much bigger than that, and something you might have been able to go up inside of and peer out through the top of the...
Stitching.
The stitching or something like that. But it's a great honour, is it?
Oh, well, it's, the park's only so big. We couldn't make it any bigger, Tim. to fit in the big Wilder Park in Ungary.
Which park's it going in?
It's the Bing Wilder Park. Bing Wilder. Ungary, right next door to the Memorial Hall.
Right.
Right in the centre of Ungary. So, the locals are looking forward to it. We've had Chrissy and a few. We had a big working bee last week to trim the hedges and to rake up a bit of grass and water the footy oval, so we're having a bit of a run around there on Saturday as well.
Hey, I'm hearing that this is going to cause all sorts of traffic snarls up there at Ungary. Are they going to have to put some traffic lights or something in around this?
Well, they're going to have to cordon off a bit of an area there. And we've had a rival station of yours, mate, that have done a magnificent job in advertising through the regional towns and... we're hoping for a big crowd, and I'm taking up a few of your teammates with me, Tim.
Who are you taking up there?
Brian Wood,
yep.
Gary Poles,
yep.
And Stephen Carey.
Jeez.
Paul Hamilton, I think, hopefully is on there as well. And
what about
a couple of locals that you might remember? A chap by the name of Paul Kelly's taken the trip out, and also Mark Boss. Who is up in the local area now. He's got a farm up there. He's a farmer up in the local region. So it would be wonderful if those boys were able to make it out there to make it a great day.
We didn't invite the Wit, didn't you? Invite Tim up, Tezza.
Oh, he's too busy. I've invited him to a lot of things. He's been letting me down a bit. Tell him, I say here now, Gaz, that it's a big day today. I don't know whether Tim will remember this, but one of his close teammates turned 60 today.
Is that right? Tim hasn't said anything.
No, he wouldn't. But I want him to get on the phone afterwards and wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, I will do that.
My old mate Vander.
Yep, I knew that.
Vander's 60
he's
today.
60. Yep. So he's done well to make it.
Jeez, that's a good effort, isn't it?
We might ring him on air, actually, and wish him all the best.
Yeah, you should give him a hoy.
Hey,
Gaz, the Blanshire Council have been up home there. They were behind it and got everything moving. And we hope to have a big crowd there on the day. And it's a great thing for Ungerry. And, our little footy club is just hanging in there from year to year. And it'll be a great boost for them just to have something like this and in the town itself. And
hey, Terry, you might want to check your blinker. I think it's been on for the last 2.5 minutes. Are you turning or not?
Well, I didn't want to do a Mark Allen and run up the back and let him see his men or some bloody thing. So I pulled over. I'll probably be sitting in the traffic anyway, mate. I got held up this morning, Tim.
What held you up?
I had a little my granddaughter turned 5 this morning, Olivia, and it was a wonderful start of the morning. She was up bright and early. They're up here, up at home at the moment, so it's been a good start to the day.
Are you up there at Ungerry now with Jim?
No, I'm not. No, not quite there yet, mate. I'm still in Melbourne. Like you're going to do an honest day's work, and we're flying up Saturday morning.
Gee, that's
flying out of Essendon, and we've got a couple of little twin-engine planes. I had Gary Foles had to check with me. He wasn't going up in a single one. It had to have two.
He's always been.
I could move him.
Hey, Foles, he's always been a very cautious man.
Yes, so. It's great that those blokes are able to make it.
Magnificent.
It's going to be absolutely magnificent. Saturday, it is at Ungerry, the unveiling of the Big Sharon. Terry Neal, Anthony and Chris Danaher. 752 AFL matches for the Bombers and the Swans, and one of the all-time great people of AFL footy is Terry Danaher. It's been great to talk with you this morning, Tez, and have a great day.
Yeah, good on you, Gaz. We've got your old mate coming up too, Billy. Ooh. Billy Brownless and James Brayshaw, they're making the trip up.
Brayshaw's going up with Bill.
They're going up to have a bit of a yarn and help make it a big day.
That'll be fantastic. It will be a great day, mate. Thanks for keeping on the line this morning. That will be massive. Ungerry is the place to be on Saturday, and a few beers will be had that Saturday night, I would have thought.
Oh, I would have thought so. I think TD's been out of circulation too.
Hey, Bobby.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Yeah, nice to see you, young fella.
Nice to see you guys, too.
You're talking your country. I
heard Black Sox on the phone out there to Terry before, and he kind of met him halfway. He didn't go the full Danaher. It was more like a diet Danaher. There's a bit of me old mate. And
there's a lot of that goes on, doesn't it? When you speak to an Englishman or South African, you start to...
Yeah, you do.
Because I've got 1,000 voices.
You have.
When you get the country drunk, we're all going. That's right, Tezza.
I thought you spoke bush pig this morning until I put you to the test, and you failed it dismally.
No, I did.
The great thing about, there's a lot of great things about Terry, but he hasn't changed. Like, from the moment he walked into the footy club all those years ago, back in 1979, I think it was at Essendon, not one part of him has changed.
You can set your compass to the Danaher family. Yeah, it's nice to have, some people evolve, and that's interesting as well, but it's nice to be able to tie your rope to people who are just solid as the days.
And in the old days, right, at pre-season training, this is the old days, I know I'm reminiscing now, and I'm not going all the way back to Dimbulla, Gary, but I'm just back to in the day. You might have 90 blokes, roughly, at pre-season training.
Scattered like mice.
Tez would go up to all of them. G'day, son. How you going?
It's something about not changing, isn't it?
What's that?
It's something about being authentic.
Yes.
Do you think you've changed since you retired?
Yep.
You have?
Yep.
Why?
I think I'm more relaxed.
Well, I got a message saying that this person saw you on the drive in, he gave you the thumbs up, started waving at you, and you totally wiped him.
I didn't know who it was. I couldn't work out who
not
was
happy.
It.
He's not happy. Andy Lee says that. Oh! He has changed Bob Murphy. Big
we
time.
Got that.
Well, that's a big name, too. I feel bad. Sorry about that, Andy. Cool. I just genuinely didn't know. I didn't recognise the car, anyway. Sorry, Andy.
Gave him donuts.
What I loved a lot about your interview with Terry, it did get me thinking, because a lot of my favourite things sort of smashed into each other. One of them being the big share, and I've got a passion for the big things, and on the caravan, stopped all the big banana, the big mango. The big banana, a bit too corporate, sort of a lot of cues, and they've sort of sold out a little bit. The big mango was great, so I'm watching with interest of the big Sharon.
It's a 5 metre Sharon.
It's a 5 metre Sharon. Yep.
That's not that impressive.
Well, it's officially, it's the biggest, so it just needs to be the biggest.
Could have been bigger.
Well, it's still the biggest.
I know, but it could have been bigger.
But usually the idea of when if you saw the headline, you know, ex footballers take over country pub, you sort of, oh god, you know, what have they done here? What have the Rat Pack gone and done now? You sort of shake your head. But when it's the Danaher's, you just know that that's the kind of country pub that you would want to go to and want to sit in. But it did get me get the juices flowing for this week's Bobservation about what makes a good country pub. And I just had a quick sort of rattle off the top of your head, and I'm sure you guys have got some things that a country pub needs.
Yep.
And so the three that I came up with very quickly were the 7 ounce glasses, the ponies.
Yep.
Just that's a proper country pub. That the smaller, elegant glasses with the big farmer's hands wrapped around them. That's a hallmark of a country pub. Gotta have the 7 ounce glasses. Gotta have at least three regulars that would sit in the same spot. And for a bonus point, if there's a corner, you know, that's Dusty's corner, or that's you know, Wisp's corner, you know, Wisp, who probably drank himself
early grave.
But we like that. But the other thing, just the aesthetic, the original tiled bathroom. Don't give me a slick. Mm. Don't give me slick. I want the original urinal. I want the old tiles from 1962 that have been cleaned and they're thin. The worn carpet. Although they're things I think that are important for a country pub. And I just feel it in my bones that the Danaher's up at Ungerry would be.
They'd have all of that, and you know you got mine host sitting alongside you this morning.
So one of us.
That is true.
One of us in here has been a publican.
That's right. That is true. 2 years.
That's you, Gary.
At the London Tavern in Richmond, Lennox Street. What's your non-negotiables for a good pub? 9429116004339816. I did. I ran the pub with Johnny Northey and my mate Pecker for a couple of years. Then it just got too hard for me. I'll put my hand high in the air, Bob.
So were you
too hard?
It's a big leap. I mean, for me, I'm sure for some of the listeners out there, it's a big leap for some of us. There's
Come
publicans
on.
And then there's you could lean on. I can see you leaning on the bar and holding court and, just putting a rag in the glasses. But were you rolling barrels in?
I was. I tell you what. Okay. I know this is a bit. We took over that pub a week before Christmas, right? A week before Christmas, it was booked out solid for Christmas parties every day. I'd never poured a beer in my life. There was four of us. So, anyway, it was good. Graham Richmond, the great Graham Richmond, is probably the most famous football publican of all time. And he was involved with State Footy Wisp, and we used to know him pretty well. And he gave me some advice. He said, you always have a rag, and you constantly wipe the bench, because if you've got your beer there, this is visual.
Yeah.
And then you go and wipe it. What are you got to do with your glass? You got to lift it.
You got to pick it up.
And then you have a sip. So he reckons you just, hey, Wisp, that's an old publican trick. You wipe, there's your glass. You wipe and you go, I've got to pick that up, so you might as well have a sip. And then you leave it, then you go back.
So the wipe encourages another sip.
That's right.
That's the intricacies of the publican is quite, and I told you that story of Gary Dempsey, who drank with a few of the other farmers down in Birragara, and there was a new publican who'd taken over the pub. And so the legend goes, the publican just sort of made a throwaway comment of, oh, you look a bit scratchy today, Gary, look a bit rough, you know, dressed a bit scratchy. And apparently Gary just drained the last of his pot, staring at the publican, put the glass down, left, never to return, whilst that publican was still in charge. That's as delicate as it can get in a country pub.
Pub politics, Wisp. The other one was extra salt on the peanuts.
Hey, to make them thirsty.
These are old publican trips, Wispy. Extra salt on the peanuts, so when you get thirstier, drink more beer.
So you're telling me that Graham Richmond said to put extra salt on the peanuts.
He took me under his wing.
Gary, he said, I'm telling you, son, put some extra salt on the peanuts.
And exactly what I did.
You've got cotton mouth in your pub.
Sales went through the roof. Very good pub. London.
Did you ever have cause to eject anyone from your hotel?
No, I never worked.
Who was on security?
At night, Pecker Woods was me, security man, great man. There'd be people listening from the London Tavern. There'd be people down there. I'll tell you, what's the time? No, it's too early, but the pub used to open at 11.
First one in, first?
You set your clock by the people that got there, and you talk about where they sit. You wouldn't want to get in their seat, Wisp.
What about your counteries?
Yeah. Magnificent. They had great meals. And they had a great, London Tavern had a great beer garden. It's since been done up a bit. It's a great pub. On the way to Richmond, the Richmond Premiership would have, their sales at the London Tavern would have doubled.
Would have swung through there. Now, guys, I was listening back onto a bit of footy. I was listening yesterday with when you guys had pickers on and you were talking about suspensions. And it did get me sort of thinking, about, you know, I think we'd be sort of considered three fair footballers.
Clean skins.
Yeah, clean skins, but, you know, not without our dark, our dark side.
I have my moments too, Bob.
I was just sort of, like, I was curious about our tribunal records.
Yes.
Because I went up, I was guilty three times.
You got guilty three times?
Three times, yeah. Once for striking Dominic Cassisi. Can we get Dominic Cassisi on? He dudded me at the tribunal, Dominic Cassisi.
Did he?
Yeah, I went in for the spoil. I clipped him with the forearm. It was pretty innocent sort of stuff. I got 2 weeks for that. I was like 20.
Jeez.
And then I got a chart. It was a heavyweight bout between myself and Xavier Ellis, and I bumped him.
A couple of ferocious characters.
I bumped him and caught him high and got a week for that, and then got a few points. So I tried three.
Three guilty.
Three, yeah. What about?
Did you defend yourself, or did you have somebody, the player's advocate?
No, I had the player advocate, and so we cooked the books back then of, you know, talked to Port Adelaide and Dominic Cassisi and go, you say that, and we got in there and Dominic Cassisi goes, oh, no, I had blurred vision, I couldn't come back on the ground. Oh, what are you doing, Dominic?
You've
gone off script. We've got 2 weeks.
Now, there's three of us in the room now. Of the three, who do you think may have just decided that when they went to the tribunal that they'd just defend themselves?
It's pretty obvious. I don't think we need to go to court. I don't think we need to go to court.
It wasn't me.
It's the publican.
You went in there and defended yourself on a tripping charge.
I got reported for tripping, and I simply changed direction. I got unbalanced on one leg, so as a counterbalance, your leg goes out. And I stood up in front of Neil Bizzy and showed him. And he just said, yep, fair enough.
You got up and showed him.
Not guilty.
You went like Crime Stoppers.
Demonstration. Yes, I did. Indeed, and got off.
Wow, that's incredible.
Because I didn't trip him, that's the bottom line. Johnny's on the line from Mount Evelyn. Go, John.
Hey, boys, with your palmer and your steaks, don't put your palmer and your steaks on the chips on the counter meal.
Oh, so don't put them on, put the chips to the side, not underneath.
Yep.
Get a bit soggy.
Okay. Are you a ham on the palmer man, or are you just a tomato and cheese man?
Oh, no, anything and everything. Salami, whatever.
Anything and everything.
Go on, Johnny. Hey, this is great for a text. A good country pub has the pull-open bingo tickets.
Oh, that's the
You
real
put
deal.
Something in your pub there once, Stace. It didn't go off, did
and
you?
And actually, someone texts Peck is still pouring pubs in Kyabram. He is. He's going back and works, I think, at the commercial. But, yeah, we put the tickets in the London Tavern.
How'd that go off?
You would have thought you'd ripped the roof off and knocked over the main bar. The locals just stood and stared at it for about 3 days. As if to say, how dare you put that in our pub?
And then
it's
what,
not your pub. It's
and then what
pub.
Happened? And then what happened?
Slowly they got on board, and there's only so many big $50. If they say there's three 50 buckers, if they went off in the first week, that ticket machine never got another cent until a new batch came in.
Oh, that's very good.
It was magnificent. Craig from Roeville. G'day, Craig.
G'day, guys. Great pubs. I don't know if you've ever been to Thargaminda in Western Outback Queensland. The lady, the publican's name is Surly Shirley. The lounge area consists of a couple of old couches, a rocking chair, and all the grandkids' toys. And while sitting in the corner of the pub, Surly Shirley decided to tell us the story of how in the 60s the local regular guy was sitting there and a guy walked in and blew him away and killed him on the spot.
Oh, that's a nice cheery one for the morning, Craig. Thanks for sharing it. Hey, we've got to push on. We've got so many people
It's important to have a happy ending to a story.
for schnitz, handmade pan-cooked schnitzel, and Melbourne Airport parking. You can now park closer for cheaper.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Shallow entry. Jones will slap it away, but only as far as Nathan Wright, who kicks the goal.
Here they come.
Frederick Traub gets herself in the right position. Couldn't quite take the mark. How's her second effort? She spins, she snaps, and she goals. Frederick Traub. And Brizzy have got the opener in the second term.
Oh, the crumb of the week, thanks to Schnitz, the schnitzel expert.
Double,
that's your favorite.
We had a double crumb. The evolution of the crumb, it's lit up. It's set fire with the double crumb. Off. Yeah, so Nathan Wright and Sabrina Frederick Torb. So we've got a double crumb, one from the AFLW, one from the AFL men's.
Magnificent. Well done. That's thanks to Schnitz, of course. And the pub talk is just flying along. We haven't got enough time. We should have started at 6 o'clock. What about this one? Read that one off the top there from Wim Creek in northwestern Western Australia.
There's a great pub up here. They had a pet camel that used to stick its head in the bar. They reckon the camel drank 80 cans.
How did it open the can?
With its toe.
With its camel toe?
Oh, yes, have you ever heard of that?
Interesting. Wow. 80 cans in a day.
If you had said pots or pints, maybe, if not opening
and maybe
can.
Next week we can do great pub stories, because I'm not doubting that, actually, because you get very thirsty in that desert in Western Australia.
Hey, the Wichita Hotel, North Central Victoria, you could get a 20-cent discount on a pot if you kept the same glass to save water. That's from Andy out there, who's a Bulldog supporter.
Oh, that's good. I just hope they do a 7-ounce little pony.
Is that a Shetland?
That's a Shetland.
Yeah. It's time for the PAM. An ode to footy, given that Kobe Bryant did an ode to basketball that then got turned into a sort of little animated feature.
Which didn't really warm your heart.
Well, it wasn't. The cartoon was very...
You thought the cartoon was ordinary.
Wasn't even coloured in properly. But that won an Academy...
half a cartoon.
Academy Award on Monday. So the challenge today was to do an ode to football.
Yep.
It was my turn to do it.
Yeah, and
I've been immersed in this football story. I didn't have time to put my head up, so Tim did it. And Tim, to quote himself, Bob, is in awe of himself of what he's been able to come up with. You're going first today.
I'm in a bit of a sweat today. In a boxing terminology, I've been on the couch because I thought I was boxing
well,
you.
That's not great news. The word that you had to come up with or work into the poem.
Work into the poem.
T.W. Sharon.
T.W. Sharon.
An ode to football.
Seamlessly, as you'll hear in a moment.
Please, Bob.
There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the black mumba from LA with an Oscar had won the day. He started in the number 8 and finished as 24. The prodigy had a knack to hustle, pass and score. But his award-winning poem spoke more of matters of the heart, about his 6-year-old self and how he got his start. It was there in his imagination, hitting the winners in his dreams, shot after shot after shot, like pebbles in a stream. But what links the game of baskets to the code we call our own? We're a long way from Hollywood. This is the home of Randall Bone. Our game is filled with guttural roars and a few rough edges. Our game smells like liniment and soundtracked by insensitive sledges. We play for the jumper and the fierce thud of contact. We die for our clubs. Until we get offered a better contract. Our culture is mateship and we don't go complaining, unless it's the umps who we give a fearful caning. Perhaps we're not so different from the Yanks across the pond. Privately we love the game, clutched to our chest is the bond. They throw the Spalding, we kick the T.W. Sharon. Uh-oh. But it's about what's inside, not what you're wearing.
Oh.
What links us all is the dreamy little kid who lies awake at night. All we want is a chance, let us loose in the fight. For what we got, there is no cure. Whether it's dunks or goals, our love is pure.
Beautiful.
Hey.
Excellent.
Very,
excellent.
Very good. I think I would have topped it had I had the time. You get extra points for working Randall Bone into
that
it.
Too.
And a tenuous rhyming of Sharon with Warren. Not bad from Bob. Now I hand it over to the man who's in awe of himself.
Embarrassingly, and I'll get to that at the end of my poem, but you'll know what it is.
Poem.
I can't recall when I saw that first shiny red ball. All I know is I've always been smitten. And from the lounge room to the MCG to the commentary box, it hasn't mattered where I was sitting. My love is deeper than a Mick Malthouse thought. The game's my muse, my piece on the side, my sweetheart. It's unconditional. As a kid in Dimboola, to play over hot coals, I'd crawl. I've danced on the G with a Premiership Cup. I've coached at St Kilda.
Shameless.
Then, embarrassingly, had to say my time's up. It's caused me tears of joy and despair. At times, the pain's been difficult to bear. But all those scars I'm wearing haven't shaken my faith of love in the TW, Sharon.
Oh, no. Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, that's it. Not bad from you. You started out with a nice timbre in your voice, which straight away had me sitting up straight in my chair and thought, this is going to go somewhere.
That's embarrassing that we'd both end up rhyming.
I thought it was emotionally conflicted.
Well, you went with the Premiership Cup, which I thought was a low blow, given our man was the captain of a club that won a flag and couldn't play.
That was spiteful.
Here's a little bit of feedback from Krazza.
Yeah.
That was shit.
ambiguous very, feedback.
Very good.
What does he mean by that?
I don't know.
We won't put Wisp.
Okay, give us your feedback. 9429 1116. Who won the poem off this morning?
Just Wisp or Bob. We don't need too much long feedback. Can we put that on our website, or is that copyright sort of style?
Well, no, you can put it on. There'll be some sort of royalty if we get it on iTunes.
Excellent. I'll be back next week. Don't worry.
I
won't be as busy next week.
Conor McGregor of poems. You just announce when you're up for it.
The home of Randall Bone. 28 games with the Crows and the Hawks. So you've been an absolute delight. I loved it. I loved the poem, and I loved the stories about the pubs.
That was a great poem this morning.
You liked that one?
No, it was very, very good.
Okay, that's
very
good.
I reckon we could almost make that into a cartoon, and we could nominate that for an Academy Award next year.
You wait till next week. Just wait till next week.
Not enough colour in the cartoon.
It was a pretty poxy cartoon for an Academy Award.
It's a bit of a sketch. Not a complete cartoon.
Shocking.
Oscar winner.
Sam Edmund, just repeating his report this morning. Jerry McGovern offered a 6-year deal by a Melbourne club for $1.2 million per season. You can head to sen.com.au to read more. Very nice work. As you head off into the day, signs of a great country pub. Dirty jokes on the dunny wall. This is text messaging. Red brick building, sells stubby holders, footy tipping comp and a racing syndicate, cheap billiards and a mixed grill.
Just about got it all.
20, who had a celebrated career.
He doesn't love footy.
He had a spell from footy, but he couldn't stay away. He's coming back. He's a new recruit on the Footy Show, which starts again tomorrow night, and he joins us. Okay, Swanny.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You are deep in, I would imagine, at Channel 9 as we speak, just going over some of your sketches and some of the new production stuff that you're going to do tomorrow night.
I've got to find out where Channel 9 is first before I get in there.
Hey, Swanny, I've got some
advice. Out of bed.
Swanny, my mum wants me to tell you to take the nose ring out. And is there any chance you'll do that or not?
Probably going to be a hard no, Tim, I'm afraid.
A hard no, Tim, for your mum?
Okay, I'll pass that on to her.
I've been told that before, but I don't think I could get it out if I tried, to be honest, but... No, it's going to stay in for a little while. It'll come out at some stage. I guess it gets to a certain age where probably nose rings aren't as cool on old men as they, they are. So that's probably going to have to get taken out at some stage. But just for the minute.
Are you going to be in trouble? Hey, Swanny, you're going to be in trouble if tattoos aren't cool one day then, if that's the case.
Oh, that'll be the end of me, mate. I'll be in big trouble if that happens. I won't leave the house.
Hey, Swanny, what can we expect? Thursday, 8:30, I've seen the ads, I've seen Ed up there with the new recruits, it's going to be bigger and bolder. What? Give us a little insight, a little sneak peek into Thursday night.
That's a very good question, Gary.
what do you mean it's a good
You're
question?
You're supposed to be promoing the show, Swanny.
That's what you're here for.
You'll be the first to know when I figure it out. We had a production meeting the other day, and there was a really... lovely fruit platter on the table, so that got most of my attention. It'll be fun though, I hope. The little pieces of information I have remembered. It's going to be really fun. We've got a lot packed in there on Thursday night. Listen, we've got a lot of great ideas for the whole year, so we're not going to obviously bring them out all in the first episode, then we wouldn't have much left. But I'm on early, I know that. Then we'll have a bit of a chat about what I've been up to, and then we'll get into some footy talk. A lot of fun stuff, and hopefully entertain all those folk out there who are tuning in. So it should be a lot of fun, mate. I'm excited to be back. I got the boot last year. Now I'm back there, so hopefully we have a bit of fun.
Hey, this is what if I was running the footy show, which clearly I'm not, I would have moved heaven and earth to have you do a sit down one on one with Jordan DeGoey. How would you have gone with that?
Pretty well. It'd be like a Mensa meeting, I think. Me and him together, so it'd be great.
What advice would you have for him?
I told him not to get caught. That was his I'm not sure. I learned the hard way as well, and I played up obviously a lot of him when I first started, and so is he. So hopefully it'll be the making of him. I think eventually you run out of chances, unless he gets really good, then you get a few more. So which I learned the easy way. But listen, I think you can only so many times you can play up. So I think this will be the making of him. He's a very good player, and I think he's going to learn the hard way. So I think he'll have a really good year, but he's just copped it. And I guess that's the problem of playing at Collingwood. When you're going well, it's really, really good. But when you play up, it's really, really bad because you're on the front and back pages for a month. So that's what happens when playing at the Pies. But I spoke to him a little bit, and I'll give him my little bit of advice. Which
you have spoken to him?
Yeah, I've spoken to him, yeah.
Did Collingwood ask you to, or did you do that off your own bat?
Oh, geez, I'd be very skeptical that the Pies asked him to speak to me. I don't think they asked him, and nor would I expect them to. But obviously, I probably come from it from a different angle than I guess most of Collingwood. I've probably been there and done it, and probably done it a little bit differently to most. So I had my opinions on it. And it's just what's done is done. You can't let that define you. You got to let your football define you, because in the end, if he has a really good year, no one's going to remember what he did in January or February, whenever it was. So he's got to let his footy do the talking. Now he's got to work hard and earn back some trust, which it's very hard to do. But from what I've heard, the little bits of information that are coming out of the footy club, he's really doing that. And he played really well in the intra club the other week, which doesn't mean much because you're playing against yourselves. But from what I hear, he's putting all of his feet, his right foot forward, and looks out for a big year when he finally gets back into the side.
And last one on this one, Swanee, then we'll let you go. But having had a chat with Jordan DeGoey, you can, as convinced as you can be, that the penny's dropped for him and that lesson has been learnt?
Well, yeah, I think so. You're saying all the right things and doing all the right things at the moment, but in the end, you can sort of say what you want. So it's just, the proof will be in the next, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But, but speak to me. Listen, he's a really good kid. He's made a couple of blues. I think the first one, when he talked about his dog, I think that's just, dog's my best friend, so he's the last person I'll throw under the bus. But, I think he was just scared of getting in trouble, which, you could understand. Everyone lied to their parents when they were kids because they didn't want to be in trouble. So that, it's not great, but it was just out of getting in trouble is why he lied. And this one, obviously, drink driving, no one condones. So that's not great. So he's made really one big blue, but I think the penny's dropped and he's only young, but like I said, there's only so many chances you can get, and I think he's learned the hard way, and he certainly, from what I hear, there was a couple of robust discussions at the footy club, so I'm sure he's been scared straight, if anything, mate. So I expect a pretty big year from Geordie, so just watch this space.
Hey, Dane, just quickly before we let you go, would you pick him in the first game, for the first game?
I would, because if he's done what he's needed to do, if he's worked hard and he's gone, I think he had to go away and work, labour, do some labouring and stuff like that. So obviously I'm not there every day, so I wouldn't actually know. But if he's worked hard and he's earned back some of the respect of the players, I think it's probably up to the leadership group, because they're the ones that have to get out there and play with him. So if they decide that, and the players decide that they want him in round one, I can't see why he should punish the rest of the team and the fans for Geordie Stewart's mistake. He had to go away and get up at like 6 in the morning and do some labouring all day, then go to training in the VFL for a couple of weeks. That's punishment enough. So and he's copped a big fine. So if the players are happy to have him round one, I can't see why he wouldn't, because Colin would need their best players on the park this year to have their best shot of playing finals. So I wouldn't punish the fans and the stuff if they think he deserves a shot.
Hey, Swanee, really interesting. Great stuff. Appreciate you giving us some time this morning. 8:30 footy show. We look forward to watching you in action.
Yeah, so am I.
And by the way, is the pub open? That's come off out. One of the crowds in a text message wants to know, is your pub open?
Yeah, the pub's open. So
that's ruining my life at the moment. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's actually going really well. It's fantastic. My weekends are, I don't see Mondays too often. I sleep all day Monday, so I'm on a 6-day week at the moment.
What about to go on there, so what about a drink card?
Pretty sure it's not on a Monday.
Hey, mate, what about a drink card for Gary and I?
Yeah, you might get a couple. If your mum can relax on the nose ring thing, I might give her one.
Hey, good on you, Swanee. Good to talk to you, mate.
Thanks for listening to the best of SEN Breakfast Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, if you're hungry for more, head to sen.com.au. Otherwise, be tuning in tomorrow on the 1116 SEN station app or website. Bye for now.